Item number three, please.
Item number three is from the Office of the Sheriff, an information report on a planned relocation of Huber inmates from the County Correctional Facility Central to the County Correctional Facility South. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee, and on 9/19/11, this item is referred back to the Office of the Sheriff and County Board staff for a report back to that.
Is anyone here to speak as a member of the work group?
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Session?
I'm able to provide a brief verbal update, and the Sheriff's Office is also welcome to comment as well. As you know, last month we received a report from the Sheriff's Office informing us that the Sheriff intended to transfer the Huber inmates from the downtown facility to the south facility. He's been housing those inmates in his secure facility for a year and a half, or 2.5 years actually, and needed that space for inmates who are more serious offenders. So he's moving his Huber inmates down to the south facility. He did indicate that he was not willing to provide transportation for those folks, so they would not have a direct means to get to their employment or their educational purposes, the reasons that they were allowed release by the courts in the first place. The concern for us is that, obviously, since they can't get there, they might be either in violation of their court orders, or they might end up losing their employment or having other problems with what they were intended to be released for. We've had meetings with the Sheriff's staff, the Department of Administrative Services, the Department of Transportation and Public Works to assess the transportation needs of this group and to work through the transportation logistics with this group. They have a variety of scheduling needs. They need to be released at various times during the day, throughout the week. And we were interested in making a very resource-conscious decision about how to meet their needs, rather than providing, for instance, any kind of specific shuttle service. We did want to try to provide some sort of fixed route that runs from the house downtown so that the Huber inmates can have access to where they need to get from the downtown, central downtown location. We don't really have any ready resource to deploy toward that end, so we've been talking with other options. The first option that we've explored is working with G4S to piggyback on the contract that they already have with the Sheriff's Office. They provide secure transportation between facilities as necessary and as directed by the Sheriff's Office. I talked with them. I got a quote back from them regarding what a fixed route would cost. They gave me a figure yesterday that they revised this morning, a figure for an annual cost for a number of trips, round trip, daily. Not an excessive number, we didn't consider. Twice in the morning, something midday, twice in the evening, and then maybe something in the evening. Was $210,000 for an annual cost. As I said, we want to be resource conscious on this as we approach the problem, so I'm continuing to work with the Department of Transportation and Public Works and Mr. Tekarian's office to try to find another solution. The sheriff intends to make this transition December 1st, so we are under some time constraints. We are working hard to try to find a temporary solution for this problem.
Okay.
There is the longer term problem of where do we house Huber inmates for the long term. That's something that we will begin to get our feet into as soon as we're done with budget deliberations. That's another pressing need, and we want to make sure that we don't have that we address that issue and resolve this short-term issue as well. That's my report, Mr. Chairman, to the Sheriff's Office.
Thank you, Mr. Session. Any questions of Mr. Session? Supervisor Drew.
Am I correct? There's no bus route out there.
There is one bus that runs through that neighborhood to 68th and Ryan Road on Saturdays only.
Saturdays only?
Yes.
Supervisor Weishaupt?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Have we had discussions with MCTS to see what cost it would be to run something?
We've explored that a little bit. As Mr. Tekarian noted in our conversations, MCTS, because of their involvement with federal money, and I hope Mr. Takeri will correct me if I'm mischaracterizing this, but because of the federal money that's involved in MCTS, if we were to employ them for this service, it would be considered a charter. And because it would be a charter, it would be, have to be something that we would have to put out to an RFP. Now, it's not an insurmountable obstacle, and it's something that actually we can probably complete in a relatively quick manner, but it is something that we would, I think, look at as a last resort, maybe.
Well, I'm thinking more on the ends of a regular route that we would have that would extend that that far for the system that would run on a daily basis. I know that we've been asked in the past to extend bus routes to areas of Franklin. So at a cost of $210,000, would it be just cheaper to extend the route and a bus comes by every hour or so, multiple times a day on a regular route schedule?
It's certainly an issue I'd be willing to explore with Mr. Takeri and MCTS. I don't know if they have an opinion on that off the cuff.
Mr. Takeri?
Mr. Chairman, committee members, we did look at that a bit. The price we had from MCTS to provide the charter service was approximately $135,000. But again, we're required to do this through FTA to actually go out on an RFP if we're going to have a charter service. It was clear the ridership out to that area would be cost prohibitive for us to extend a route, either going up Ryan Road or there's some other segments in the area that we could break off and try to make that loop. But what we were looking at is doing a service where it would pick up at the facility south and have a central point that they're dropped off downtown, that they could either connect with other means of transportation, whether it be bus, taxi, or have somebody picking them up. So we wanted to have this where it was for those that are being released at 7 o'clock in the morning who have a job to get to try to make it through the system and do transfers to make it downtown. I think that might be difficult on them. That's why we looked at the charter service where it was a single point and dropping them off. The price we did get from MCTS was approximately $135,000.
Thank you. I guess the whole rationale for this is that we have a secure facility downtown that's a regular jail facility, and we're filling that with supposedly nonviolent people who could be released on Huber, and then we have violent people at the House of Correction in a, I guess, less secure facility. Would it make sense, if we, would a $500,000 capital project to make certain facilities more secure at the correction facility south make more sense than it would be to spend $500,000 on a bus system, to get inmates back and forth? The thing is, if it's just about securing prisoners, should we be, in the long run, beefing up, detention or whatever at the correctional facility, the House of Correction, to house these people, and then, I guess, lightening up of an area of the jail for Huber facilities, and that makes more sense in the long-term financially?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I think you're kind of getting to the nub of the problem for the longer term. If we were to go down a path like that, then we would have displaced serious offenders outside of the jail and a different new secure facility from the way you're describing it. An alternative is to use a capital project to try to find a place for Huber inmates instead and keep the serious offenders in the jail. And that's going to be part of our longer-term discussion.
Well, the question is that, you know, can this be solved by, like I said, a $500,000 one-time capital project to make a secure detention facility at a portion of the House of Correction that would meet the needs of, I guess you could call it, the overflow of the inmates that's being created? Because I guess the whole justification for this is that there's not enough room at the jail for both Huber facility, Huber inmates, and the prisoners who need secure detention. And that, is it as simple as creating a 20-cell facility out at the House of Correction to detain those more serious offenders and freeing up that Huber space?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, and the Sheriff's Office may have a different perspective on this, but to track down a capital project to build a new secure facility or secure annex for serious offenders is probably going to be more cost intensive than the housing needs of the Huber inmate population. The state statutes are pretty clear on what you have to provide for Huber inmates, and it's a relatively, more of a minimum security sort of way of looking at housing those inmates. You know, X amount of space, you need X amount of shower facilities, etc. For secure places, for serious offenders, I think you're going to look at higher costs. So I think we could certainly entertain where you're going with this, but off the cuff, I just would say that it might be cheaper just to find a permanent location for the Huber guys.
Well, I think the question is, how many inmates are we talking about that's causing the problem? Is it 25, 50, 100?
The Huber census, the last number I have, is about 150 inmates, most of whom are male.
And how does that then overlap with the serious offenders that need to be locked up that were so-called consumed in that jail space?
Inspector Schmidt, and I can correct me on this, but I believe the secure facility would hold up 176 inmates in the pods of the jail.
Mr. Chairman.
Good morning, Inspector Schmidt.
Good morning. There's three pods that are 100% right now used for Huber inmates. Each pod holds 64 inmates, so we're talking 192 inmates that are currently using Huber beds. I appreciate what's been said. However, there's some factual issues. I've got several hundred felony pretrial inmates right now at the cell facility. In addition to that issue, which the jail downtown of the County Correctional Facility Central was designed as a pretrial facility, and we have a significant number of pretrial inmates down at the South facility. One of the other significant issues which we've been working with the chief judge on is when we have a jail that is completely filled with violent inmates and one floor committed to Huber inmates, what ends up when we have a flow of inmates from arrests from the various different jurisdictions, we have nowhere to put them. That drills a problem with the court system. In other words, if we get 50 people in last night, we got somewhere near 80 arrests that came in during the latter shifts. Where do you put those individuals? The issue should be, and what the jail is designed to do, is when we have summary arrests that come in off the street, they go into our intake pods, they can be processed quickly, we can get them to intake court the next morning, and that's the way the system was designed to work, and it cuts down on inmates being held for a longer period of time. So what then happens is we have to transfer summary arrests down to the South facility. They have to get back. There can be delays that impedes the defense attorneys, the prosecutors, and so forth from having access. So the bigger picture, which we go back to 2009, is what we are, of course, looking for is a new Huber facility. That way that particular problem disappears. The other issue, which just very quickly, is the inmate population that currently exists in our 2,500 and some inmates that are in the system right now, the low, quote-unquote, lower-level offenders the majority of them are on GPS now. They're not even within our buildings. So that basically shows the more serious offenders that, of course, for public safety reasons, are incarcerated right now are the much more serious crimes than maybe it was 5 years ago. Thank you.
I just have a couple questions just to get this right. So we have our jail, 150 beds or so are filled with Huber people that come and go during the day for job and other treatment facilities. And we have then on top of that, how many would you consider serious offenders that are locked up in the jail for pretrial services?
We have, the jail itself is capped at 960 inmates, so take out the 192 and what's left.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so then when we have an overflow over 500, we send those pretrial serious offenders down to the House of Correction. Okay, now if we have that transportation cost to do that, and that seems to be okay under the current system, why is the transportation cost, if we just flip that around and said, okay, we're going to send the Huber people to the House of Correction, why is that somehow a huge injustice that we can't afford to pay that transportation cost, but we can afford to pay that transportation cost when it's a violent offender to put them in a lower-level security facility?
Mr. Chairman?
Respectfully.
In essence, none of those that transportation should not be taking place. If the system was designed the way it was originally set up, the summary inmates, which we're having to transport back and forth now, that would cease to exist. The Huber inmates, again, we have to go back to 2009 when it was made part of the budget process that a Huber facility would be built to take care of these inmates. We set it up as a temporary housing project, which we are happy to do. We're able to shut down the CCC, which, of course, was something everyone wanted to do. So we're simply trying to get back to, one, the current way of doing business. It's not efficient. It's not effective. We get complaints from the court system because of the way it's set up. It's just extremely difficult to get this giant pool of inmates moved every day in an effective manner. So we have to, what we're attempting to do is get back to what was originally designed to happen, which is we're looking for that Huber facility, discussions to start, understand fiscal constraints that exist in the budgetary system today, but it's still something that, quite frankly, we're looking to see happen.
Well, right, I think we would all like to see a Huber facility created somewhere. And like I said, there is the financial constraint, but I see it as a zero-sum game, that if I'm paying for transportation to transport violent offenders back and forth from the House of Correction back to the court, why is it, you know, other than if you just want to claim that you're reducing your costs, because what's the difference then? I would see it as a lower cost to transport non-violent Huber offenders back and forth. And we could at least, if you're going to put them in the Huber facility and give them the transportation, they have a chance of actually meeting their requirements that the court has put on them. If you put them down in Franklin and then they don't have the transportation piece, they're going to violate the reason they're on Huber, and then you're going to end up needing a 24-hour bed for them to sleep.
Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
The argument that's being made, which I certainly understand, is one that I guess philosophically we'll have a little difference on. The issue being, when we had our staff in September talk with every single Huber inmate, gave them a slip that basically informed them they would be responsible for their own transportation. There was not one single complaint or one single issue that was brought up by any inmate, such as it's impossible to do. I understand there's individuals that believe they'll have difficulty getting to work. However, the inmates themselves have not made that statement. So, in essence, the inmates being moved down to the South facility are not complaining. They're not stating they can't get transportation. They are aware of the situation. They have a responsibility, if you will. The court allows them on Huber to be released. That will happen. We'll make sure that they're released on time from the South facility. They can determine whatever transportation mode or that they need to get to wherever they need to get to. And at this point, there has been no concern raised by the inmates.
Well, just that final point on that. It's just to ask somebody who's in jail if they want to get out of jail to think they're going to say no is a bit, you know. Of course, I didn't expect to get a lot of complaints on that either. And I just think that a common sense approach, and I think we maybe need to kind of look at how we're doing the accounting on the transportation side, because I think that it just doesn't quite sync up with me here how we can pay for people to be transported back and forth to the House of Correction if you've committed a serious offense, but we somehow can't figure out a low-cost transportation mechanism for people who've committed lower-level offenses. And I just think it's the cost of doing business up until the point that we as a community decide where we do want to put a Huber facility and the size and the cost of it. So I don't have a problem with, I guess, the people like yourself who are trying to do it. The problem is with the sheriff not realizing that a transportation cost needs to be in the mix. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan.
Mr. Chairman, it's my intent to report back on this in December.
Thank you, Mr. Session. Thanks, Inspector Smith. Item number, any other comments on this particular subject? If not, we'll
have a comment.
Supervisor Gill.
Inspector.
Sir.
Why can't we just be friends?
Well,
why can't we just? So the sheriff comes, and talks about his $14 million cut, and I think everybody on the county board wants to make sure that we are applying, making sure the public is safe, making sure that the sheriff is successful with the resources that he needs to do his job, and we come here every committee meeting, and it's always this. And so you guys have needs, and we have certain things that we would like to see happen. And I just think that it's in everyone's best interest that we can have more friendly dialogue and have some more partnership and working together to make sure that we can provide common sense solutions. Don't you get tired of doing this? Don't we get tired of doing this every month?
Supervisor Joe, I will, before Inspector Smith responds, I will say that we do have the July 1st, 2009 report that was given to us. It was recommended that a new facility be constructed, and it appears that no one's done anything along those lines.
I understand that, Mr. Chairman. Yeah. I'm just saying that I think the supervisor's point is well made in that,
regarding transportation.
Regarding transportation. Okay. So I just think that there's room to really negotiate and try to come up with something, and I'm trying to work with you guys on some additional things, and I think that let's just work together, man.
Mr. Chairman, yes, sir. If I may personally address the supervisor.
Yes, sir.
Our purpose, my purpose, is never to be antagonistic towards anyone, but to look at, from our perspective, what is in the best interest of public safety, economically what's the best and what's the most efficient and effective way for the public assets to be utilized. It's understood there will be different philosophical approaches to things.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the totality of these issues, we're convinced that this is the best plan. If the county board determines that they want to adjust the way this transportation issue takes place, that's certainly its prerogative, and of course has the right to do that. So just from a personal standpoint, which you brought out, first of all, I want to, and I know I'm off subject, but I applaud you for what you just did on the last resolution And we do intend to work together, so we appreciate that. Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much, Inspector.